Well, thank you, Christopher, for that good hymn leading, and Tim and Jerry playing the piano and the organ. That sounded great. So we appreciate that, how much that adds to the meeting and adds to our worship, that beautiful music. I want to speak this morning on perhaps the best known passage in the entire Bible, which is the 23rd Psalm. So I ask you to please turn in your Bibles there, and we want to look at it, but we're going to go through it verse by verse. I'm going to read it first, and then we'll go back through it. But I'm going to bring in some new insights. Years ago, I was studying in the Old Testament, and there was a Scofield footnote about one of the names of God, and it's Jehovah plus another descriptive name. And so I said, I wonder how many of the Testament. So I had my computer. I used to use Strong's Concordance, but now I use the computer. So anyway, I turned to my computer and I looked up the word Jehovah, and then I just went through and looked up every place there was a combination name. And I found that there are 8 different combination names of Jehovah in the Old Testament. For example, you're familiar with those, like Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Well, then later on, I was studying the 23rd Psalm, and I noticed 8 of these descriptions of Jehovah are found in the 23rd Psalm. And so I want to look at that from this viewpoint. And so let's read the psalm, and then we'll go back through and look at the different titles of Jehovah in the 23rd Psalm, and then talk about what that psalm means to us and what application we can make in our own lives. 23rd Psalm, the Lord. Oh, you know, it's so well known. I remember when I had Jim's funeral about a year ago this month, and Bobby Marshall and I preached the funeral, and then we went out to the graveside, and Bob read some portions of Scripture, and then I just got up to the podium, and I just said, if you know the 23rd Psalm, would you quote it with me? And we quoted the 23rd Psalm, and I just quoted very silently, and I could hear the whole mass of people gathered around there quoting the 23rd Psalm. So it's so well known among believers. Well, why is that? Because I think we can really identify with the Lord's work as a shepherd. And we'll talk about that this morning. We are the sheep of his fold, and we need a shepherd. And it's not a compliment to us to say that sheep are dumb, but I think we know that sheep are dumb, and sometimes we feel like we're dumb too in our walk with the Lord. And we need a good shepherd to take care of us. And that's what the 23rd Psalm brings out. The great shepherd that it speaks of here. So let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, what are these different titles of Jehovah? Let me mention them to you, and then I'll repeat them as we look at each one. First is Jehovah Roah, the Lord my shepherd, is the first title that we see. And then Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, is the second title that we'll see when we get down to the next verse. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Here's an interesting one I wasn't aware of. Jehovah Rophika, the Lord who heals thee or restores thee. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of righteousness, is the fifth title. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And then Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And then last little tongue twister, Jehovah Mekadeshkim, the Lord that sanctifies you. And so we'll see that each one of these is used distinctly in the 23rd. So let's go back to the first verse. Let me read that again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now the word here, Lord, is the Hebrew word Jehovah, the great covenant-keeping God. And it says here that he is my shepherd. The word shepherd is found 59 times in the Bible, 30 times in the Old Testament, and 29 times in the New Testament. And the Hebrew word is ra'ah, and it means to tend a flock, to pasture it, to rule, a feeder of sheep. Well, the first title, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Roah. Well, we find the Lord Jesus presented in the New Testament in three ways as a shepherd. Number one, he's presented to us as the good shepherd. And you know that from John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so the good shepherd dies for us. He lays down his life for us. In fact, in Psalm 22, the psalm just prior to this one, it speaks of his sufferings, doesn't it? And so the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Secondly, we find in Hebrews 13 that our Lord Jesus is a great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And the great shepherd lives for us as our shepherd and tends us. We find that in Hebrews 13, verse 20, where it says, Now the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Well, instead of me quoting it, let's look at it together. Hebrews 13, turn over there and we'll just read it together. Well, it says, Now the God of peace, in verse 13 of Hebrews, if you don't want to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Verse 20, where it says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So there the Lord Jesus is described, great shepherd, lives for us. And he rose again triumphant from the grave, and his resurrection is the basis of our present blessing. He calls down God's blessings upon us as our great shepherd. Now come back to the 23rd Psalm. And then the chief shepherd is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And that the chief shepherd comes for us. He returns and brings us home. He takes us to the sheepfold. And he tends the flock. We find that in the Psalm 24, where we think of glory in Psalm 24, the chief shepherd in glory. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, then shall you appear also with him in glory. And so the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd who gives his life for us. He's the great shepherd who lives for us and tends us as the flock. And he's the chief shepherd who will one day return for us. And so that's what we see then. Now, there's so much in the Bible about shepherds, and especially talking about what they do. You find it mainly in the Old Testament about the work of the shepherd. Let me read you these verses from Isaiah 40. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Notice, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those who are with young. And so the Lord is the good shepherd who tends the flock and takes care of us. Now, hold your place there. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to look at verse 15 and 16. Now, this section is talking about the wicked shepherds that were the shepherds over Israel in the days of Ezekiel. But it talks about what a good shepherd does, what a good shepherd should do instead of what these wicked shepherds were doing. Look down in Ezekiel 34, verse 15 and 16. Notice it says there, I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God, and I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. So there's a beautiful description of the work of a shepherd who feeds the flock, provides care and oversight, provides healing, who leads the sheep, who seeks those who stray away, and he provides rest. So that's the thought. I thought that was a great description from the Old Testament of what a shepherd does. Now, in the New Testament, the word shepherd is the Greek word poimen, which is the noun form, and then the verb form to tend sheep is poimeneo, and it's used 29 times in the New Testament, 18 nouns and 11 verbs. And it just means a shepherd, a pastor, one who tends sheep, one who nourishes sheep. You know, in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, he landed at Miletus, and he called for the elders of the church, and they came down. And remember what he said to them? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, not as lording it over the charge allotted unto you, but be thou examples to the flock. And so Paul was exhorting those elders there at Ephesus. So it says there, the Lord is my shepherd. Look at the next phrase, I shall not want. And that's the second title of Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And that comes from Genesis 22, verse 14. Genesis 22, verse 14. Now we can really identify with that. You know, the Lord promises in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. In Psalm 34, David writes, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no lack to them that fear him. And then in Psalm 84, it says, For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted like unto we are, yet without sin. And he says, remember Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll talk about this later more in depth, where he says, My grace is sufficient for thee. And so it says, one of the titles of the second title of Jehovah is the Lord will provide. Okay, now look at the second verse. He makes me to lie down and green pastures. And that's the third title, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord sends peace. The Lord sends peace. And that's found in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, where the Lord speaks to Gideon. He makes me to lie down literally in meadows of tender herbage. It's a pastoral scene. It's a peaceful scene. The Lord provides rest and peace. He provides physical rest. Sometimes when we're worn out and we just need to lay down and rest, we need physical rest. And the Lord Jesus knew that. He said to his disciples, Come apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many people coming and going, so that they had no leisure even to eat. And so he provides physical rest for us when we need it. Spiritual rest is the most important. He says, Come unto me, all that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then a mental and emotional rest, where he tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so, he's providing tender herbage. He's providing green pastures. Well, what is our source of food? Well, we feed upon the Word of God, to, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And then later on, as we grow, we feed on the meat of God's Word. And that's found in Hebrews 5. Now, everyone who uses milk is a babe, but he that eats strong meat is, but he eats strong meat is able to discern between good and evil. And so that's our source of food, the Word of God, and also upon Christ. We feed upon Christ. Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And so that's our source of food. And he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord gives peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Then it says, he leads me beside the still waters, literally waters of rest or deep quietness. Not just rest, but refreshment. You know, we need water as well as we need food. And water pictures for us in Scripture the Word of God in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. It also pictures being filled with the Spirit. That last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus cried and said, if any man will come after me, let him take up of the waters of life, for out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. That's John chapter 7, verse 37. Well, so God not only provides water for our needs, but also for refreshment, doesn't he? Think of the ways that we're refreshed in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ as we come to the Lord's table to remember him. Also, fellowshipping with a close friend in Christ, it's refreshing to our hearts and minds. So, number two, we see there the third title in the second verse, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Then, the third verse tells us there, he restores my soul. And that's Jehovah Rapha. It's, let me spell that for you if you're taking notes. It's spelled R-O-P-H-E-K-A. And it's Jehovah that heals, or Jehovah that restores. And that's used in Exodus 15, verse 26, where God restored the waters at Meribah. Remember, the waters were bitter, and God showed Moses a tree, and he cast it into the waters, and they were made sweet. So it's, the word restores is a Hebrew word that means to turn back. If a man, for example, Paul writes in Galatians 6, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness. It says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. In Isaiah 51, David writes, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And so we, like sheep, are prone to wander. We're prone to wander away, and we need the Lord to restore us sometimes, don't we, as we get out from fellowship with God. That's one of the importance of the Lord's table, that we can come back to the Lord's table once a week and get refocused for the week ahead as we consider Christ and as we think upon him and as we remember him. He knew that we would need that, and that's why he asked us to remember him. He knew that our hearts would grow cold and would wander away, and that one time a week when we can gather with believers of like mind and remember the Lord together, it restores our hearts and our minds. Paul writes in Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. So he brings healing and restoration. That's the fourth title, Jehovah Rapha. He restores my soul. Next is the next phrase, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Guidance, he promises guidance here for us, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. We see many verses that promise guidance as we seek the Lord. I will instruct, Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Psalm 143, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I will guide thee in the way. Psalm 143, verse 8. Another psalm I wrote down here, for Psalm 48, verse 14. And this is a beautiful verse. Listen to this. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Man, isn't that a good verse? That's a beautiful verse. That's Psalm 48, verse 14. And so the Lord promises guidance, and so he guides us where? Into the ways of righteousness, into the paths of righteousness. That's what it says there. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's the fifth title of Jehovah. It's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Let me spell that. It's Z-I-D-K-E-N-U. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah our righteousness. And we find that in Jeremiah 23, verse 6. If you're taking notes, that's where that's found. And he's speaking here of a walk of righteousness. Of a walk of righteousness for the believer. We find this throughout the New Testament of the importance of a godly walk, the importance of a holy life. For example, we know in Romans 6, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And so we see in Ephesians 6, the armor of God is the breastplate of righteousness. And we find so many verses. I've got a bunch of verses listed here. Let me just quote a few of them. 1 Peter 2:12, having your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, that whereas you're spoken against as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And it's used also in other places too. And there it says, notice he says, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. For what reason? For his name's sake. You remember when David had sinned with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah, and Naaman the prophet came into him and rebuked him for that. And he says, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Now, God cares for the honor of his name, and I want us to look at that. Hold your place here and turn to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, this is a really beautiful section where it speaks about that God cares for the honor of his name. And that's why we as believers are to glorify the Lord in our lives. God's name is at stake in us. Ezekiel 36, verse 20. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And so that's a very strong section that speaks of the glory of God's name and how he cares for the honor of his name. You know, Paul writes for us in 2 Corinthians 5, now therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. We're his ambassadors, and our lives reflect upon him and his name. So number 3, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Here we see a promise of divine companionship. Thou art with me. And that's the 6th title of Jehovah. It's Jehovah Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. And it's Jehovah is present. The Lord is there. And that is found in the last verse of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, one day we'll all face death or we'll meet the Lord in the air. Hopefully, I'd like to meet him in the air. But if not, we'll face death. And remember what the Lord Jesus said, I am the and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We may walk through death, or we may be going through any deep trial, a deep valley. Lord Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Listen to this beautiful verse. This is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the waters, I shall be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, it shall not kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. You know, there's one of my favorite hymns is How Firm a Foundation. You may like that hymn also. And one of the verses says, when through fiery trials, my grace shall be with thee. And then another verse says, that soul that on Jesus whom leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. Isn't that a beautiful hymn, those words of that hymn? And so he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here's a promise of divine comfort. For the Lord is with us there. And it says, notice it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of a shepherd was like a club, and he used it to protect the sheep. And Psalm 34 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. You know, I'm persuaded if it was not the Lord's protection, Satan would murder us instantly. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. And so he's a murderer. And he would murder us, all believers, instantly. And you see the great sacrifice that believers will go through during the tribulation period. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you'll be executed. You're beheaded. And so Satan is a murderer. And so the Lord Jesus protects us as his sheep with his rod or club. Then it says his staff. That's the shepherd's crook. That's the shepherd's crook. The shepherd guides straying sheep with his crook to keep us on the path. Again, that's Hebrews 12 again, where it talks about whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. And so the Lord's staff guides us as straying sheep. Now, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here we see a promise of divine supply. You know, this is true in our age as we feast at the Lord's table in the presence of the world around us, the world's enemies. We are sojourners and pilgrims on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our home. And so we eat at the Lord's table, his provision for us. And this title is the seventh title of Jehovah, Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord my banner. And that is found in Exodus 17, verse 15. Nissi is spelled N-I-S-S-I, just like it sounds. You know, there was warfare between Israel and Amalek. And Moses told Joshua to go down and fight against Amalek. And he gave victory over Amalek. Amalek is a picture of the flesh. And as long as we're in this world, as long as we're in these bodies, we're going to have conflict with Amalek, won't we? And you know, I'm preaching to the choir. You know how true that is. We have conflict in the flesh. However, God has made a provision for us. We see this in the New Testament in Romans 6 and 8. And in Ephesians chapter 1, being seated in the heavenlies, God has made provision to walk in victory over the flesh. And so God is our banner. We sit at his table, the Lord's table. The shepherd's death for the sheep brings victory over sin and death and Satan and this world. Thus, the table is a symbol of victory and fellowship, God's provision for us in this Christ-rejecting world. And so the Lord is our banner. He has conquered our enemies. And our foes are his foes. And you know, there's a verse, let me read you this verse in Exodus 17. That's where this word, Jehovah Nissi, comes from. It says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, that is, the Lord my banner. So it's an ensign of victory for us as a believer. And then it says, he anointed my head with oil. That's promise of divine sanctification. And this pictures for us, as believers, being filled with the Spirit, anointed. We're no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And that's Jehovah Mekadeshkim, Jehovah that sanctifies you. And that's found in Exodus 31, verse 13. Let me read you that. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Well, that's the Hebrew word, Jehovah Mekadeshkim. Let me spell that for you if you're taking notes. It's Mekadeshkim, a real tongue twister. But the Lord said, and even in the Old Testament, he says, be holy, for I am holy. He said that in Leviticus 21. You know, we find throughout the New Testament, especially, the importance of holiness. And that's why I was saying to you earlier, our name, the name of God, we carry the name of God. We're his ambassadors, and our lives are to be reflection of his life and walking in obedience and holiness with him. David writes in the Psalms, chapter 4, verse 3, the Lord has set apart him who is godly for himself. That's what sanctification means, to set apart unto the Lord. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, know you not that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So that's Jehovah Mekadishkim, the Jehovah that sanctifies me. And then in the last, next to the last phrase there, the last phrase in verse 5, my cup runneth over. You know, Peter writes for us, let's turn over there, and I won't quote it, let's look at it together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. There it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So he's given to us all things that we need. Our cup runneth over. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. That is an amazing statement, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so our cup runneth over. He's provided all things that we need for life and godliness. It tells us there, my cup runneth over. You know, I love Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul starts out talking about the fact that we were sinners of the Gentiles and walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and so on. But then he says, but God, who loved us with so great a love, has made us alive together in Christ, and has raised us up together, and has made us sit together with him in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And so, my cup runneth over. And then the last phrase, come back now to Psalm 23. Let's finish the last phrase here. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here we see divine provision for every blessing in time and eternity. You know, I compare that verse, turn over to Romans 8. I compare that verse there, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, with the last few verses of Romans 8, which you may already know. Romans 8, we'll beginning with verse 31. Where it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we see the goodness and mercy or following us all the days of our life. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of life. And he goes on to say, and I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so David closes with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's our hope, isn't it? To one day to be caught up with him in the clouds and to be ever with the Lord. So hopefully these thoughts on the 23rd Psalm have been edifying to you as we consider Jehovah and his names, and as we consider the 23rd Psalm, its blessed passage of Scripture. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our great shepherd, and that you do live on our behalf, and that you have come, Lord, that you are our shepherd, and we do not want, and that we see that you've anointed our head with oil, and our cup runs over with your blessings given to us as believers, and we look forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.